25 minutes.
Like, you stare at
it. It was like,
okay.
See here.
Looks like we are ready to go.
They didn't know what was going on.
All right, sure.
So I said, okay. So there's enough damage around me. You know that. You got into my alcohol.
Yeah, okay. First thing, I wasn't here last week, so people that were here can review the minutes.
When he was in the state office, I'm trying to
approve those from November 18th.
I think that's you and me, Ryan, right? I move we uphold the minutes.
Sorry.
Okay. All in favor? Any opposed? Do we have a quorum?
No, we have a minute.
Do you need that?
It just needs to be from Alan. Present.
Okay. Let's go into the NLAC request letter, and this is about, again, the open-ended time loss, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Yuri, can you explain the review for us, the Medical Advisories Committee role in the state for that, and where, obviously, medical issues we're divided in, but some get into administrative issues. Where does our responsibility end and it becomes an administrative issue?
So the statute basically says that you advise the director on medical issues. It doesn't mention anything about administrative or anything like that. So, a good example is the treatment that's excluded from compensability. Basically, you review the literature,
right,
and then, use your knowledge about the subject area, and then make a recommendation to the director, just because you say it should be excluded or not be excluded doesn't then mean that it necessarily will be, because it still then has to go through the rules process, and that's what makes it not compensable once it's in the rule. And so, again, basically, the role of the Medical Advisory Committee stops with giving the advice to the director what you feel should be done, and whether the director actually will do that or not is definitely a different story. So it really is just the medical aspect of things. That's really the role.
Okay, thank you. And relative to that, in reviewing the this and Juan's record, or letter that he sent, where does this fall in that round? Is this an administrative issue or a medical issue? It seems to me it's more of an administrative issue, and they're wanting us to create a best practices model, which is not in this case, I don't think, a medical issue. It does involve our practice, but what is it exactly the MLAC wants from us?
Karen, do you want to say something about that?
Yes. Sorry, I locked the door. We have to watch you. Morning and afternoon, whatever it is. What's the question? Say what your question is again, Dr. Roman.
What is the nature of the feedback MLAC wants from us on this issue?
So I think you and Lon and Dr. Lorber had been talked to the subcommittee, MLAC subcommittee, several months ago, and then we had a discussion at the last MAC meeting that you weren't here. I think the subcommittee has been, they didn't come to consensus on any specific solution that they could recommend that was in the workers' compensation law, but they felt like there were some providers that could benefit from guidance on best practices about authorizing time loss, seeing workers on a regular basis, whether it's on some schedule or not. And they felt like asking MAC as providers, that that was within your wheelhouse to offer some idea about that. I think where they ended up was, do you think that a best practices statement would be useful? First question. And then if so, could you help outline good advice for providers who may not know what to do? And so that's the question they're asking you as providers who are in the system and operating in the system. How? I think Dr. Lorber, you said at the last meeting, you're already in the system, you know what you're supposed to be doing, but this is for folks who maybe don't know quite, you know, aren't as experienced as you are. Does that help?
Yeah, well, I think my position, and Dr. Bowens, we talked about this a little bit before, the long letter sort of summarizes it already, is a best practices statement for this topic that is more administrative doesn't seem to be in our purview. We're comfortable saying, yeah, we don't understand why open time loss would exist, things like that, but really it's more of an insurance MCO type issue to set the rules. And so, I don't know, that's where my comfort level is. I don't want to speak for you.
No, I agree. Same thing. We you're preaching to the choir here about this issue. And frankly, I was not aware that that was a thing, open-ended, that you don't do that. I get away with 6 weeks if they're full duty. Sometimes. That's it, and I thought there was a requirement. But CUDA, it's about behavior modification. So you got maybe a provider that is being played by a worker. That's the situation you get into, right? And you get this time loss approach forever. Well, I think it should be between the person receiving the time loss benefits and the adjuster of insurance and whoever signs the check. That's where the discussion should be, and if they all vote for you or up, that's their deal. But if we get into anything that penalizes providers, you're gonna drive them away from the whole thing, because they probably don't want to be involved anyway, which is why they want to put in things so that the person can go away.
I think this is the conversation they wanted you to have. So
yeah, now first
keep going.
An open-ended. Now we're talking about an open-ended full duty doesn't matter, right? Nobody cares. That's what we want. Open-ended light duty with no end, but mostly open-ended where there is full time loss, which can be a light duty was given to the worker, but. The employer doesn't have any light duty, so they're on full-time loss, right? That shouldn't be open-ended, but that's not a medical thing. That's just how I feel about the role of the injured worker. It's not too much to ask them to come in once a month, once every 6 weeks, as a requirement to get their check.
I certainly sympathize with SAFE and what they're going through. However, there's no data that I can find that backs this up. I'm not finding how big this problem is. Part of my problem with that is SAFE's got the resources, the manpower to be able to put something together, to put some data together. If this is a big, huge issue, they should take it to the legislature and attempt to make a change in the law that would encompass the standardization, according to them, that they'd like to see, and we could let it lay where it lays. But the reality is, for this body, it puts this body at the crosshairs of several different things, because I can remember in the past we did the opioid guidelines, and we did it out of the goodness of our heart, to send it out there to folks so that they had some kind of rationalization of the big problem with opioids. And the first thing that happened, we heard right from the BME saying, gee whiz, folks, this is our jurisdiction. It isn't yours. And after Dr. Bowman talked with them a little bit, they finally said, okay, fine, as long as it's not mandatory. But writing something, even a guideline to this, to practitioners out there who are trying to deal with this worker anyhow, to say, oh yeah, that would be terrific, and we'll just withhold compensation from you, flies in the face of more than two decades of policy that says we're trying to get people with those skills into the workers' compensation system rather than trying to throw them out of the system. And that's what bothers me about this particular proposal in the minutes of those meetings, because it clearly said one thing but then started alluding to other remedies that I am opposed to. The other part for me is any time you sit and say, gee whiz, will this letter ever end up in a court of law, can certainly happen if it ends up in some kind of dispute that happens over a statute, clarification issues, what have you. And we could very well find ourselves at some point or another testifying in front of a court of law on why we put it in there, what was the intent behind it, so on and so forth. That can be problematic for this organization also. And to top it off, this organization right here, MAC, is not a political animal. We don't do politics. We don't do policy. We don't study legislation, really, to speak of. We study other types of issues that are important to the director. And so there is a clear dividing line. And when I was on MLAC, when we took a look at a subject and said, how big is this? How are we going to deal with this? We had to come into a consensus. And that consensus either fixed it or forced us to make concessions to fix it. And I think that that was important to keep those things that's in their purview over there and our stuff over here. And if they need some advice on some medical procedures, so on and so forth, we're terrific with that. But ordering practitioners or telling practitioners what their guidelines or what they should be doing in their practices is, to me, is not very productive. I can't imagine a business owner allowing me to come in there and tell them what their best practices should be.
I had just had a thought, too. I don't know the arena for the insurance companies signing up employers for insurance, but couldn't some kind of requirement be put into that contract language, and it be on that end? The other thing that Lonnie brought up was that if there's a physician responsibility in this, it may not go under medical malpractice. They could be brought into court and have to pay their own attorney bills and get taken out of their funds. And just that perception of that will drive the borderline providers out of their work comp.
I'm taking notes.
Hey, Dr. Jean, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. So we had a little technical difficulty, so he's right there on the right.
Okay,
there,
great.
So.
I'll keep my comments for better. And one thing, I will need to step away at 2:30 for a brief dental appointment, but should it go on beyond 3 o'clock, I'll be back. So just wanted to give that heads up.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have any input? Do you know, how do they handle
it? I only heard half of it. My only thought is, by authorizing and not authorizing, to some degree, we are giving our, you know, staff of approval to things. But I guess I agree with the latter comments of whoever was talking that was part of the MLAC. I kind of agree with that. Better if we stick to our knitting. Just my general thought.
It seems like we could have long discussions about this, but I think we're all in agreement that a position statement is not in the MAC committee's purview. So I personally think we need to have long discussions about that.
Yeah, we've gone through this several times.
apologize for running late. Dr. Lawler from representative of the MCO, so I just want to interject there. Missed most of the discussion, but I suspect it was in summary and along the lines of the email from Lon in terms of the role of the MAC committee for.
Basically, Ron and I had already talked about that same thing before Lon even sent that out and said, well, hey, this is probably beyond our purview. It's more administrative insurance, MCO-based.
Right.
And for the MAP advisory committee, I don't feel comfortable doing a position statement on how TIMELAW should work administratively. We have our opinions on how it should work, but that's how we generally practice as well.
And being new to the MAC committee, not entirely certain of all the history in terms of what kinds of decisions were brought, but certainly how I was oriented to the committee, I had the understanding that it would be much more about clinical as opposed to policy. So I also had that concern even before the email, just wondering how
yeah, so our primary responsibility is that someone can bring to us from industry or whatever a new treatment, and we have to determine is it experimental or there's four things that. Is it outdated? Is it
right.
And all that. And then we use our experience as physicians and look at the data and all the statistics and all that to make a judgment on that that only we can do because it's a medical issue. This one isn't medical. Do we have an idea of how big a problem this is?
No, and that's actually why the MLAC subcommittee stopped or is on hiatus for the time being, is they asked for more data about the scope of the problem. So there were some, you know, anecdotal examples given during MLAC, but there's no, they didn't have sufficient data to identify the scope of the problem.
Well, I would imagine that if the worker was given an unending time loss statement and then was incommunicado for whatever reason for a couple of years, they could legitimately claim that for all time loss benefits during that time. And certainly that's probably not right, but that's a legal thing, a legislative thing to make that reasonable.
I make a motion we table this.
Well, I'll second. I'd say eliminate it. As opposed to even table it, I don't want it to come back.
It won't come back unless we bring it back. It won't come back. It will die a long death on a shelf gathering dust.
We've given the feedback. Is there anything else we need to do?
I don't
think
so.
We're not in favor of creating guidelines. We don't want to do that. I don't think we need to.
I guess we could send it back to them with, sorry, it's not our purview. We could table it. We could say, no, we're not doing it. There's 100 things we can do. But at this point, I do believe there's a consensus at the table.
I agree there's a consensus. I'm not sure it needs a motion. Right?
I can convey the feedback to the committee. Yeah, so
that's all it needs to be.
It's easily done. If you want to actually vote, you can do that. I don't.
So
you're not my committee anymore.
Well, there are pretty good reasons across the board. We don't think it's our purview to be creating guidelines for this administrative issue. But we're available if there's specifics that they want some insight into how that might work out in an office. That's some guide that we can give if we know the specifics.
I think I can put something together.
Will I do it?
I think so.
Okay. We didn't have anything else on the agenda, but I want to just talk about PRP since we're here real quick. You sent out a bunch of new articles, and that's for who's on?
You mean Dr. Gene and Dr. Hubbs.
Right.
Okay, and do that.
Well, I think we should maybe set up a separate time to talk, decide if we're going to do like we did before, and divide up the articles amongst us. There's not going to be nearly the number this time. I think you and I had 129 last time.
Yeah,
so now it could be about 40.
So I really limited it to level one and two.
Yeah, it looked like studies.
So I'm still working on the meta-analyses, even though Dr. Lorber isn't.
So Dr. Jean, you know, as Lon mentioned last time, there's probably 44 meta-analyses that you found at least.
Right, I saw Yuri's stuff. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, and I think you mentioned that last time too, but seeing that we don't have that many RCTs, each of those meta-analyses is probably about the same dang articles, is my guess.
Yes.
I don't think we need to read 44 meta-analyses. So I'm going to get a few of them, but really maybe dividing up the articles where maybe like two of us take half of them.
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. Do you want to just get together by phone at some point so we can decide how we're going to do this and not waste the rest of the committee's time on this?
Yeah, we can set up a meeting.
Yeah.
So, I wonder if what we need, it sounds like, is a meta-analysis of the meta-analysis, right? Pull all their stuff, and then we'd have one.
What for?
To do that.
Mega meta?
Yeah, mega meta.
So the studies I collected from 2018 through basically August of 22. I could, you know, with the meta-analyses, just go back a year or two at the most and reduce it that way.
Because it should have 4, 5, 6 years worth of data.
It should encompass all of them.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
All right.
And I think what we should do is we should be down with Dr. Jean in Southern Cal. Committee will pay for that, right?
On the golf course.
That's golf course.
Let's give you Tory Pines, Dave. Tory Pines. Do you have any feedback on what other states are doing?
Yeah, we got a few, not very many, and I apologize, I'm totally spaced about that because it's been a while. I'll put that together and send that out to the committee. Also, what we got.
Okay. Yeah. I had a patient recently. He's a maritime insurance. He's a sailor, and they don't have any restrictions on any kind of treatment. So, and that's a jurisdiction. It's kind of like longshoremen. They've got different
federal.
I think some states follow ODG, like Texas, that's the official disability guideline. And last I checked, and I haven't checked in 6 months, they did allow therapy injections for epicondylitis after a year of failed conservative therapy, and for knee osteoarthritis, moderate or slight, in people under a certain age, I think it was like 45 years old. And those are the two indications. I don't know if they've changed that in the past 6 months, but that's what Texas is going by and other states that use ODG.
Okay. All right. Well, is there anything else?
Constantine, is there a certain time or day that we should get a hold of you by phone?
Pretty much any time that the others can meet, I can move things around. I took a little tumble and hit a couple of teeth, so I've got some sporadic dental appointments. But other than that, pretty much any time soon.
Did it involve a bicycle?
It did.
Okay.
Not powered. I'm taking up hiking now.
Is your clavicle in one piece? Are both clavicles? Okay.
Yeah, I got a little bursal tearing of one rotator cuff, super spinatus. But I actually worked really well on that, so had my last pain medication about a week and a half ago, knock on wood. So I think I'm going to take safer options for exercise.
Okay, well,
so, we try to just call you next Friday and so we can set a tentative plan?
Yeah, and Friday afternoons are great for me, whatever works for you guys.
All right.
I'm not sure we're scheduled on Friday. Something we can make.
That's fine, just a quick call.
Yeah.
Or just set a plan.
Okay.
Anything else?
Just as an FYI, we expect that the proposed rules and fee schedules, that we're going to publish those next week.
Okay.
Mid next week. So you should get an email. If you don't, let me know.
I think I saw an email where they were being presented to the next step, whatever. Okay. So this would be the final version.
Yeah, basically the proposed rules, and then you can provide testimony to us, and we'll consider the testimony before we publish the permanent rules.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
I have just a few admin things. So we still are looking for, and it's still pretty new, but a replacement for Dr. Ricciatelli. So I know at the last meeting there were a couple people who had said, oh, I think I know someone who might be interested. So,
is that a replacement for the MD or the JD?
Both. I don't know. Both. And then I did discover we have a few members whose terms expired. Actually, both of you, I think, are coming up, but we'll talk about that in the spring. So I did reach out to, there were three, and I reached out, and we'll see. I know, Lon, you had said you're like to come back for another 3 years, and with Dr. Hubbs, we actually had him just take over the remaining of Dr. Moore's term. So just making sure that this is what he wants to do, and then we'll get him set back up for 3 weeks. And then Tom Williams, physical therapist, is the other one too, and we have to hear from. So we'll get those up and running again, but we do have that vacancy that we need to fulfill.
And actually, we have a couple other vacancies that have been vacant for a long time, and it really would be great. Dr. Ricciatelli, he was an OCMED doc, so if we could get another OCMED doc. But we don't have any family physicians. And family physicians really play a big role in the work comp system. And so it would be great if any of you know of any family physician who might be interested. That would be great. We really, really appreciate all the time you put into this committee, and we really appreciate you coming to these meetings. And again, your expertise is really appreciated. So thank you very much.
So in our next meeting scheduled April 21st, how does the change to Friday afternoon in this location work for everybody? Thanks for lunch, by the way.
Yes.
All right, we're adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.
Wow. I know.
Good job, sir.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry that didn't work, but we got a good workaround. All right. Thanks. Take care.